From Athens, Greece, today is the 24th day of October. Welcome back. Welcome to the Global Campfire. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. And as always, it's great, fantastic to be here with you today. I'm grateful, deeply, deeply grateful for where we are here around the Global Campfire as a community. Grateful that we can gather from the four corners of the world, from every continent and every time zone. We can spend some time every day stepping forward through scriptures together. And we're stepping forward today, like every day for the last 20 years. For the 20th time through the book of Jeremiah. And our step today leads us back to where we left off. Chapter 44, verse 24 through 47, verse 7 today. Then Jeremiah said to all the people, including all the women, "Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah who are in the land of Egypt. This is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says. As for you and your wives, you women have spoken with your mouths, and you men fulfilled it by your deeds, saying, 'We will keep our vows that we have made to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings for her.' Go ahead. Confirm your vows. Keep your vows. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, all you Judeans who live in the land of Egypt. I have sworn by my great name, says the Lord, that my name will never again be invoked by anyone of Judah in the land of Egypt, saying, 'As the Lord God lives.' I am watching over them for disaster and not for good. And everyone from Judah who is in the land of Egypt will meet his end by sword or famine until they are finished off. Those who escape the sword will return from the land of Egypt to the land of Judah, only few in number. And the whole remnant of Judah, the ones going to the land of Egypt to stay there for a while, will know whose word stands, mine or theirs. This will be a sign to you. This is the Lord's declaration, that I will punish you in this place, so you may know that my words of disaster concerning you will certainly come to pass. This is what the Lord says. I am about to hand over Pharaoh Hofra, Egypt's king, to his enemies, to those who intend to take his life, just as I handed over Judah's king Zedekiah to Babylon's king Nebuchadnezzar, who was his enemy, the one who intended to take his life." This is the word that the prophet Jeremiah spoke to Baruch, son of Neriah, when he wrote these words on a scroll at Jeremiah's dictation in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to you, Baruch. You have said, "Woe is me, because the Lord has added misery to my pain. I am worn out with groaning and have found no rest." This is what you are to say to him. This is what the Lord says. "What I have built, I am about to demolish, and what I have planted, I am about to uproot. The whole land. But as for you, do you pursue great things for yourself? Stop pursuing, for I am about to bring disaster on all humanity." This is the Lord's declaration. "But I will grant you your life like the spoils of war wherever you go." This is the word of the Lord that came to the prophet Jeremiah about the nations. about Egypt and the army of Pharaoh Necho, Egypt's king, which was defeated at Carchemish on the Euphrates River by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon in the fourth year of Judah's King Jehoiakim, son of Josiah. Deploy small shields and large. Approach for battle. Harness the horses. Mount the steeds. Take your positions with helmets on. Polish the lances. Put on armor. Why have I seen this? They are terrified. They are retreating. Their warriors are crushed. They flee headlong. They never look back. Terror is on every side. This is the Lord's declaration. The swift cannot flee. The warrior cannot escape. In the north, by the bank of the Euphrates River, they stumble and fall. Who is this, rising like the Nile, with waters that churn like rivers? Egypt rises like the Nile, and its waters churn like rivers. He boasts, "I will go up. I will cover the earth. I will destroy cities with their residents." Rise up, you cavalry. Race furiously, you chariots. Let the warriors march out, Cush and Put, who are able to handle shields, and the men of Lud, who are able to handle and string the bow. That day belongs to the Lord, the God of armies, a day of vengeance to avenge himself against his adversaries. The sword will devour and be satisfied. It will drink its fill of their blood, because it will be a sacrifice to the Lord, the God of armies, in the northern land by the Euphrates River. Go up to Gilead and get balm, virgin daughter Egypt. You have multiplied remedies in vain. There is no healing for you. The nations have heard of your dishonor, and your cries fill the earth, because warrior stumbles against warrior, and together both of them have fallen. This is the word the Lord spoke to the prophet Jeremiah about the coming of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon to defeat the land of Egypt. Announce it in Egypt, and proclaim it in Migdol. Proclaim it in Memphis and in Tathnis. Say, take positions. Prepare yourself, for the sword devours all around you. Why have your strong ones been swept away? Each has not stood, for the Lord has thrust him down. He continues to stumble. Indeed, each falls over the other. They say, get up. Let's return to our people and to our native land, away from the oppressor's sword. There they will cry out. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, was all noise. He let the opportune moment pass. As I live, this is the king's declaration. The Lord of armies is his name. The king of Babylon will come like Tabor among the mountains, and like Carmel by the sea. Get your bags ready for exile, inhabitant of daughter Egypt. For Memphis will become a desolation, uninhabited ruins. Egypt is a beautiful young cow, but a horsefly from the north is coming against her. Even her mercenaries among her are like stall-fed calves. They too will turn back. Together they will flee. They will not take their stand, for the day of their calamity is coming on them, the time of their punishment. Egypt will hiss like a slithering snake, for the enemy will come with an army. With axes they will come against her, like those who cut trees. They will cut down her forest. This is the Lord's declaration. Though it is dense, for they are more numerous than locusts, they cannot be counted. Daughter Egypt will be put to shame, handed over to a northern people. the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says, I am about to punish Amon, god of Thebes, along with Pharaoh, Egypt, her gods, and her kings. Pharaoh and those trusting in him, I will hand them over to those who intend to take their lives, to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon and his officers. But after this, Egypt will be inhabited again, as in ancient times. This is the Lord's declaration. But you, my servant Jacob, do not be afraid, and do not be discouraged, Israel. For without fail, I will save you from far away, and your descendants from the land of their captivity. Jacob will return and have calm and quiet, with no one to frighten him. And you, my servant Jacob, do not be afraid. This is the Lord's declaration, for I will be with you. I will bring destruction on all the nations where I have banished you, but I will not bring destruction on you. I will discipline you with justice, and I will by no means leave you unpunished. This is the word of the Lord that came to the prophet Jeremiah about the Philistines before Pharaoh defeated Gaza. This is what the Lord says. Look, water is rising from the north and becoming an overflowing wadi. It will overflow the land and everything in it, the cities and their inhabitants. The people will cry out, and every inhabitant of the land will wail. At the sound of the stomping hooves of his stallions, the rumbling of his chariots, and the clatter of their wheels, fathers will not turn back for their sons. They will be utterly helpless on account of the day that is coming to destroy all the Philistines, to cut off from Tyre and Sidon every remaining ally. Indeed, the Lord is about to destroy the Philistines, the remnant of the coastland of Kaphtor. Baldness is coming to Gaza. Ashkelon will become silent. Remnant of their valley, how long will you gash yourself? O sword of the Lord, how long will you be restless? Go back to your sheath. Be still. Be silent. How can it rest when the Lord has given it a command? He has assigned it against Ashkelon and the shore of the sea. Second Timothy 2:22-3:17. Flee from youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But reject foolish and ignorant disputes, because you know that they breed quarrels. The Lord's servant must not quarrel, but must be gentle to everyone, able to teach, and patient, instructing his opponents with gentleness. Perhaps God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth. Then they may come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. But know this, hard times will come in the last days. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, proud, demeaning, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to the form of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid these people, for among them are those who worm their way into households and deceive gullible women, overwhelmed by sins and led astray by a variety of passions, always learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just as Johns and Jambres resisted Moses, so these also resist the truth. They are men who are corrupt in mind and worthless in regard to the faith. But they will not make further progress, for their foolishness will be clear to all, as was the foolishness of Johns and Jambres. But you have followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance, along with the persecutions and sufferings that came to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Evil people and imposters will become worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Psalm 94. The Just Judge. Lord, God of vengeance, God of vengeance, shine. Rise up, judge of the earth. Repay the proud what they deserve. Lord, how long will the wicked celebrate? They pour out arrogant words. All the evildoers boast. Lord, they crush your people. They oppress your heritage. They kill the widow and the resident alien and murder the fatherless. They say, the Lord doesn't see it. The God of Jacob doesn't pay attention. Pay attention, you stupid people. Fools, when will you be wise? Can the one who shaped the ear not hear? The one who formed the eye not see? The one who instructs nations? The one who teaches mankind knowledge? Does he not discipline? The Lord knows the thoughts of mankind. They are futile. Lord, how happy is anyone you discipline and teach from your law to give him relief from troubled times until a pit is dug for the wicked? The Lord will not leave his people or abandon his heritage, for the administration of justice will again be righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who stands up for me against the wicked? Who takes a stand for me against evildoers? If the Lord had not been my helper, I would soon rest in the silence of death. If I say my foot is slipping, your faithful love will support me, Lord. When I am filled with cares, your comfort brings me joy. Can a corrupt throne be your ally, a throne that makes evil laws? They band together against the life of the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. that the Lord is my refuge. My God is the rock of my protection. He will pay them back for their sins and destroy them for their evil. The Lord our God will destroy them. Proverbs 26, 6 through 8. The one who sends a message by a fool's hand cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. A proverb in the mouth of a fool is like lame legs that hang limp. Giving honor to a fool is like binding a stone in a sling. So in 2 Timothy today, a verse that, well, is very, very important here and the work that we're doing here around the Global Campfire gives us this primary reason why we're taking this journey through the Bible at all. And we'll get to that. But before that, he's creating a juxtaposition, a contrast, two different ways of living. One that's false and is going to destroy, and one that is true and will endure. And so Timothy is told, in difficult times, and so through Timothy, we're told, in difficult times, people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud. They will scoff at God. They will be disobedient and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander and have no self-control. They will be cruel and they will hate what is good. They will betray. They will be reckless. They will be puffed up with pride. And they will love pleasure rather than loving God. They will act the part. Right? They will look religious, but they will ultimately live in a way that rejects the power that could actually transform them to be godly. Paul tells Timothy to avoid those kinds of people for his own sake and to protect the community that he serves from those kinds of people. And, I mean, when it's laid out starkly like that, it doesn't take a whole lot of effort to see why to avoid those things. Those behaviors that Paul's describing adds up to a profoundly unhealthy person, a destructive person, and creates destructive situations, especially like in a community of any sort, from a family on up to a faith community. And the challenges that Paul is warning Timothy about, well, I mean, we read those behaviors and none of us go, wonder what that even is. That must have been way back then. We don't really have that kind of behavior in the world anymore today. Right? All that stuff is still with us. So Timothy had heard Paul's teachings throughout his entire ministry. He had watched his life behind the scenes. He saw Paul suffer persecution, like up close and personal. He witnessed the faith that Paul had and what he believed and his patience and his love. And he's watching him at this point endure until the end. And so Paul is instructing Timothy, like, remember that there's an alternative to that path. There's another way, a way that you should be. And he gives him the crossroads. This is the alternative. You must remain faithful to what you've been taught. You know it's true. you know you can trust those who taught it to you. You've been taught the scriptures from when you were a kid. They were given to you, and you received the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trust, by trusting Jesus. So, like, those are divergent paths. They don't end up in the same place. If the first set of behaviors are familiar, then they are going to be a black hole that will suck the life out of anyone's soul and will destroy communities. The second path is solid, life-giving, and enduring, even when things are difficult and trying. And then we ended today's New Testament reading with this scripture, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, which describes why we've been here every day for 20 years. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what it will do in our lives if we will allow it. Every day, including today, we see the crossroads. We see the path. And we see that there are different ways to go. And they do not end up in the same place. We see where behaviors, if allowed to exist, lead. And then we get to step back. And if we're self-aware enough, if we're paying attention enough, then we're not just looking at where everybody else is headed. We're looking at where we are headed, where we are going to end up. So often we end up in destruction, and then we blame everyone else, including you. When had we been paying attention to our own life, we would have seen where we were going. And even when we are going on the right path, we can still be blindsided and destroyed by someone, as the scripture said, are pretending to be something different than they are, which requires incredible discernment. Paul tells Timothy, avoid those things and those people. So wisdom and discernment are so essential. Being self-aware is so essential. So we open ourselves. Show us how to do that. Show us how to be paying attention to our own lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi again, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Whatever This Is with Brian and Jill.
It's kind of grown on me.
And here we are.
Hello, everyone, from the beautiful and busy, lovely city of Athens, Greece.
Yes. Yes, we have made it here. And that is saying something. Because it's been a lot of miles between Istanbul and all the way around Turkey and then all the way from the northern border of Greece all the way down here in the south.
A lot of kebabs.
A lot of kebabs
have happened between here and Istanbul.
There is no doubt about it. So, I was just thinking, okay, where were we when we woke up this morning?
We were in the mountains.
We were in the mountains, and I was like, okay, I remember the monasteries and the mountains of Meteora.
Mm-hmm.
But I could not and cannot think of the town that we were in. I think it started with a K.
Oh, well, you know.
Kavala or something like, I can't remember. Actually, it was longer than that.
Those are different brain cells.
But we did wake up looking at those mountains.
Yeah.
And that was a long time ago. And so we made it to Athens. And it was a long day of pretty much just hard charging. So it's not like, okay, here are the several major places that we stopped today and let us reflect upon them. Like, we only made one stop briefly on our way here, and the rest of it was kind of hard charging to get here.
Well, one tour stop, but right. Two potty stops.
Right, I mean, okay, so fair enough.
Potty / coffee.
We did get to see a couple of gas stations, and but the one stop that we did make, just super brief. And it's like, okay, not specifically a biblical place, although standing there and just hearing the history going, okay, wait a second, this does connect.
Yeah.
So, there's a famous group of people named the Spartans here, and they had a king named Leonidas, and we were on a battlefield hearing about the Persian Empire defeating the Spartan army and defeating them until there was nobody left, at least on that battlefield. And those kinds of stories, I mean, we've been on civil war battlefields like that back in our own country. We've been in, you know, Scotland and seen these big battlefields that are so famous. And so it's, you know, those are sobering kind of stories and places, but they were just kind of, you know, we're hearing the story of how there was this Persian conflict with the Spartans in the first place and all this kind of stuff. But ultimately it was like, yeah, King Darius of the Persian Empire was here and was defeated. And then 10 years later, King Xerxes was here and was victorious. And I'm like, hang on a second, that's King Ahasuerus. Like, that's King Xerxes. Like, that's that guy's in the Bible. Hold on a second, that's Esther's husband.
Whoa.
And so
that changes the place you're standing.
Right. All of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, we are so far from there. And you get this glimpse of how big these empires were.
Yeah.
And not like by fighter aircraft, like
right.
by ground troops.
Right.
They are like 6 months away, at least, from probably more of marching to get here from Persia, which is like modern day Iran now. That is crazy that they're way over here fighting battles to get vengeance on former defeats. And man, and how these empires were spread out. How far they went. It's just remarkable. And so you do get a sense of like exile, the exiles that we hear about, the defeat of the northern tribes, the defeat of the kingdom of Judah, and how they got assimilated into these larger kingdoms by just kind of moving people around. It you just kind of can understand because of conquered people could be moved so far away.
Yeah.
And still be in the same kingdom or the same empire. And, man. So that was at least my one connection point takeaway from standing on that battlefield today. And seeing that statue of King Leonidas. Other than, you know, Leonidas is kind of a cool name.
Yeah.
You know, Leonidas. Yeah. It's like a rap name or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that or it sounds like a bit of a condition. If Leonidas.
Oh, man, I'm sorry to hear you have Leonidas. We'll pray for you.
Thank you.
Or Leonidas, the singer-songwriter, is on tour at the Ryman. Are you guys going to see Leonidas?
He's playing at the Coliseum tonight.
I'm sorry, everybody. We're like a little like this. This whole thing is like we have had to get here because the one day that we're gonna get off is in a couple of days, and it's here.
We keep trying to convince everyone we're okay, and then
we are, but it's just absolute information overwhelm and kind of, I wouldn't say spiritual overload. It's just like a lot is there backed up needing to be processed. So it's got like being held in short-term memory, and it actually needs to be like integrated, like with all the things that we're learning about mental health. Like it needs to be integrated. And man, there is so much that we're not going to go back and ever, like, it's crazy with all these years of the Bible, this has been like, we're never going to see it the same.
No, because it's like every one connection piece is one major connection piece. But underneath that one connection piece, there might be 126 questions that now come with, wait a minute. Okay, now I have perspective, but then I got to try to figure out what my brain is doing right now with what I just learned. And it's telling me all that I still don't know.
Right. It needs to be processed. It
needs to be processed.
So we came and rolled into the big city of Athens, and it's a big city and there's traffic and all of that. And then kind of got a driving tour, sort of getting coordinated. And man, and the first glimpse I got of the Acropolis, that is so iconic to see the Parthenon up there on top of the hill.
It is crazy.
And
beautiful that is.
I mean, how stark, how big, how imposing, how epic, how iconic. And we get to go up there, but just seeing it. And, you know, we live in a place that's known as the Athens of the South. What Nashville is known for. And there's like a exact replica of the Parthenon. There. And so, yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing it up close.
Yeah.
And creating new memories with it and seeing the real one. But just seeing that up on the hill. Go ahead.
Ours in Nashville is not sitting upon an ancient cliff.
No.
And it's beautiful, don't get me wrong, but it's, here is just a different view and place and setting altogether. And it is, she's stunning.
All of that. I mean, and we barely scratched the surface. All of that is stunning.
Yeah.
And I think like how old that stuff, like how, I don't know. I guess the better time to reflect upon it is once we've experienced it.
Right.
Just to see it at all was pretty profound. So driving around, getting some kind of orientation and just a little bit of the lay of the land. And then we knew we were getting in, and I'm going to have time to just do a little walking and stretch our legs, and it wasn't like we were going to experience a bunch of direct connections to the Bible. Today it was more just getting here. It reminded me kind of landing in Istanbul and just kind of needing to get oriented and regroup for a second.
Mm-hmm.
So we, a couple of things, I guess. We stopped at the stadium where the first Olympics from the a modern era was, and that was kind of built on previous Olympic sites, and understanding like the history of the Olympics comes back to this place.
It's a whole lot of marble.
Man.
The entire place is made of marble.
And a modern kind of version of an ancient stadium. Like you could see like, okay, man, they had these kinds of big events going back before Jesus.
That's so crazy.
In stadiums that looked like that.
And you know, if you think about it, Jesus could have just showed up and like been the Olympic athlete.
Yeah.
That whooped everyone's tail.
Right.
Took first in everything.
Yeah.
Like all you other people, just go home.
Yeah.
Jesus is here.
Right.
Jesus is going to run the marathon.
Right.
It's just not what he chose to do.
No, under the cover of, poverty and like truly like the least of these. And it's just, yeah. So the stadium we saw, we saw the presidential palace.
Yes.
We got to stop and see the changing of the guard,
which I love. And I love this ceremonialness. Is that the right word?
It's a good one. Just the way that they marched and the discipline of the choreography and the pageantry of it. And the solemnness of it.
Mm-hmm.
Super cool.
I know they do that at Buckingham Palace, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I know they do that at in Italy, at the Vatican.
Right.
And I know that it's done in Washington, D.C. at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier.
Yeah.
And it is all, it's so beautiful to me. Just the honoring, the respect, and the ritual, and the meaning of it. And I love it.
Yeah. So that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Then we kind of got checked in and set things up and went for a walk. Just kind of browsed and kind of moved through. We're like not too far from some of the, some of the shopping districts and a lot of, these outdoors. Like I haven't yet seen like these, some kind of gigantic American style mall.
No, our guide said that the Greeks do not like malls. They love their little stores, individual stores.
Yeah.
To shop in. And it's not just the tourists that shop in these. The locals also shop there.
Yeah.
So we did our part. We helped the Greek economy a little bit.
Yeah, and we're just walking down and then I guess got humbled in a fast way.
Yeah.
And why don't you tell that story?
I didn't think you were going to. We're not a stranger to going different places and touring a lot of cities and being in like a metropolitan type area or downtown area. I guess it's just hard to put into words. I just came out of a store. I found a couple things that I really liked and purchased them. And, got my bag and just feeling good and happy. Like, I love clothing. I've came out of the womb. Like, take me to the fashion.
Yeah. You look so cute.
Oh, thank you. It's just always been a way that I could express myself creatively. And then just as an adult, really having a weight problem like most of my life, felt suppressed, like I couldn't do that. So it's especially sweet now that I can try on things that I like rather than I hope this fits.
Right.
So I was, you know, kind of reveling in that and just didn't expect to see what I saw.
Yeah.
Because we're in a pretty heavily populated district of town and shopping and well-known stores. Some a little bit higher end, but not anything crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And there was,
Yeah.
There was a man who could have been, you know, any one of our boys' age.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not unused to seeing homeless. And I know there are all kinds of stories, and I know there can be so much ridicule and so much like, well, if they would just help themselves, you know, right. They wouldn't be in this position.
Right.
And some people even choose it. It's the lifestyle that they want to live.
Right.
But you just never know how someone got there.
Yeah.
And we get so desensitized to them because we've listened to people say, well, don't help them. Don't do, you know, they're just going to go and spend it on their whatever. Addiction yeah. or whatever, you know. And I think I'm just of the mindset that if God moves on your heart, doesn't matter what anybody says.
At all.
Doesn't matter how they spend it. If God moves on your heart. But this particular man just broke me.
Yeah.
Because he was so young. And he was so dirty.
Yeah. I saw him and I just thought of Max, our son. And I was like, oh my God. I can't imagine.
He was probably close to the same age. And yeah. Very thin. But when you got closer, he had just open wounds on his arms.
Yeah. Open sores and yeah, it was
really, and I can usually just walk away.
He was just laying on, like, we're talking about, like you said, well-known kind of shopping district with shops that people would know, and people are walking in and out with their bags and grabbing, you know, this and that. And
I think that was the thing, like, I'm just kind of shocked standing there and watching person after person just walk past. And
he's just laying on the ground and he's got like a styrofoam cup and he's basically passed out, just kind of holding this cup, just laying there in the middle of like the street. The pedestrian street, as people walk by with their shopping bags, like us, and it was dark. It was like brutal.
I just couldn't walk past him. It's not that I didn't want. Couldn't at this point walk past him without thinking about Jesus healing the lepers, like seeing his skin busted open and And you know, you don't know what to do. You're kind of frozen, like...
It is so helpless of a feeling to see that and go like, I've never been in this city. I don't know anything about this town. I don't know what to do.
But
I can't, like, just see this.
It couldn't be another person that walked past him.
Yeah.
And didn't see him. And think someone else should take care of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't even want to tell the story because of that.
Right.
Because I could not, I couldn't get it together. I couldn't escape him. I mean, that's someone's son.
Yeah. Just like ours.
Laying in the street. And to put, yeah, like he was so not well that if we put a significant amount of money, I was afraid someone would just come take it from him. And so we just kept walking, and after we did do what we could do and went into the chapel, and just there was a little chapel in the middle of the road, and we went in there, and you just said just a very simple prayer, and God help him. And I just thought, all I could hear was God say, can you help him? And so, I mean, that really kind of just took me out. I think it took us out for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, this is like an ancient little Greek Orthodox church that predates any of those stores or any of that shopping district. It just happened to be in the middle of all that, and it was just there, and we just went in there and sat down. And then it was like, you were like, let's go find some bandages. Like, let's like find a way to, like, and clean his wounds or something.
Something. I mean, yeah, I'm like...
I mean, we can dump our pockets into his cup, but like...
Right.
He's so weak.
So weak. And, I mean, a million thoughts go through your mind, because I'm like, maybe if you could just have the dignity of a shower in a hotel room, or... And then... I thought of him walking through the lobby of a hotel and the backlash that could cause. And
yeah.
I just thought, it should not be this way.
Mm-hmm.
It just should not be this way. So, yeah, this is very open-ended.
It's not like this is going to tie up with a bow. We went back to look for him and he was gone.
Yes, I mean, we went back to do what we could do, and he was gone, and I just thought, if someone does not help him, he's not going to make it much longer.
Yeah.
And as sick as he was, you know, what we did do for him, He raised his head and looked straight into our faces.
Said thank you.
And I get, like, we can't can't fix everybody and everything, but you can. You can move and do something for the people that God breaks your heart for. And my heart was broken for him too.
Yeah.
And it just was, like we're here, you know, in the New Testament, bringing the New Testament to life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was like,
are we really known for our love?
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't want to bring shame upon anybody, and, you know, we all miss it. Probably we miss it more than we get it right.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably safe to say. But it just made me think, if we are supposed to be different than anybody else in the world, if we're supposed to be known by our love, but we spend a good amount of time letting people know who is not even welcome to come into a place to worship God.
Yeah.
There's a parable in the Gospels that just wrecked me last year about the blind man. Jesus healing the blind man. He'd been blind from birth. This man didn't know who Jesus was,
mm-hmm.
but he's healed. All he knows is he couldn't see since he was born, and now he can see. And the religious are more concerned that Jesus healed on the Sabbath.
Right.
And say they call for the man's parents to verify that he's been blind, and they're afraid. And so they just defer to him. He's old enough, you can ask him.
The intimidation.
Yeah, the intimidation.
Religion, yeah. And so they demand of that guy, speak the truth. We know this man is a sinner.
Right. And the thing that they do to him is let him know that he would not be welcome into the synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
Into their club, into their group. And I absolutely love this story, and it absolutely wrecks me that Jesus comes back to him and asks who healed him, and he said, I don't know, but if you tell me who it is, then I'll believe. And Jesus does.
Mm-hmm.
And he worships him right there.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of a church. Does not need a synagogue or a church or a building or a beautiful padded cord in the background and the right lighting and the right clothing. He worships the man that healed him.
Mm-hmm.
And we spend so much time making sure who knows they are not welcome
mm-hmm.
into our clubs,
mm-hmm.
into our buildings,
yeah.
and walk past the man who's filthy laying on the ground with open sores. And I just thought, God have mercy
mm-hmm.
on us.
Yeah. That was our prayer.
That was my New Testament being brought to life today.
Yeah. So we ended up having some dinner. And, you know, like, we're traveling, so it's not like we, you know, can carry around leftovers and man, I guess we kind of have a new tradition. Because we ended up finding a way to feed a homeless family. A mom and her little kids, kind of tucked up under a blanket on the edge of a sidewalk.
She was bedding the baby down in her lap underneath the blanket. And Ezekiel said that as we handed them the food, one of the little ones just got so excited to be able to eat. And we don't, we're not big fans of like doing a good deed and posting it on Facebook. And that I mean, I'm even having a little bit of an issue talking about this now, but I think the point is that if we look, we're able to do something. We're able to touch somebody. We're able to do something in some really small way.
Anyway. If we're paying attention.
But I'm very raw. It's still processing all of this, but I mean, something is shifting hugely in my heart, and I think this—I think that is the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that a lesson for us was more valuable than an archaeological site today.
Yeah.
So we don't have like a bunch of like we took some pictures, not of what we're talking about, of course, but just what it looks like in Athens, what it looks like to be around here. And we'll continue to experience some of the places of the Bible tomorrow. Or tonight, I guess that's where we are right now.
Hi, this is Kyle in Pennsylvania, just calling to give an update on my daughter Riley's surgery. Everything went great. The surgeon was able to fully repair her heart and was very pleased with how everything came out. She's recovering now, and though it's taking a little long to, you know, hit some milestones that they want to, it's nothing that is unexpected or that they're concerned about. So, everything just went great, and we are so thankful to your prayers, so thankful to God for all that he has done for her and for this miracle surgery that just wasn't an option 5 or 6 years ago. And just, again, so thankful for all your prayers and all your support. We really felt it the day of the surgery. We were anxious leading up to it because of how new the surgery was and how kind of rushed it felt for us. But the day of the surgery, we were just very much at peace and just felt very confident in what God was doing in our lives and in her life. And we know it was because of all the prayers that everybody has put in. So thank you again so much, everybody, for your prayers. They meant the world to us, and I really helped with her surgery and with her peace and recovery. Thanks. Bye.
Amen. Daily Audio Bible. This is Vicky from the desert. I'm calling in to ask for prayer for my husband, Ron. First of all, I have been praying, and I've asked for prayer before family for his salvation. He doesn't know Jesus. He isn't committed to believing in God. And I just am praying for his salvation. And I ask you to pray with me. And secondly, he was in the hospital just a few weeks ago. It's the second time he's had to go in, and there's problem with his heart, AFib, and his kidneys, and then the last thing they found was in the blood, and they found a test that showed he may have multiple myeloma. So I'm just praying for healing there too, and for God to heal him miraculously so he doesn't have anything wrong with his blood, and he's good. And I ask you, Lord, to hear this prayer for coming from me, and to hear the prayers that come from the Daily Audio Bible family for Ron, for his salvation, and for his healing. I ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you. I thank you in advance, trusting you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Hello, Dabbers. This is Dano from Orlando. This morning's October 19th, and I just listened to a couple of prayer request sessions for some days that I had missed while I was traveling last week, and one of them was on October 10th, and Victoria Soldier came on, and she was praying for the Dabbers, as she does so beautifully, and on October 10th, she called out Kingdom Seeker Daniel and his wife, Lovey, and it occurred to me that that was 3 days before Kingdom Seeker Daniel had called in and cried out for prayer for the loss of his son, D2. It occurred to me, Daniel, Kingdom Seeker Daniel, God loves you so much that he prepared this whole community to be in prayer for you and your wife and your family 3 days before you called and asked for prayer. And God loves you so much. He's not abandoned you. And he uses this community to help others who are in need. So Daniel, know in your heart, God is so with you. Your family is so with you. We lift you up. We ask God to give you comfort and peace in the midst of your sorrow. And although no one can explain why, we know that God loves us and he's with us, never forsakes us. May you be comforted and know that you're loved. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Hey, DAB family. This is Rachel in South Carolina. I'm calling in for Dylan. I heard your prayer request from October 15th, and I had to call in and encourage you. I have struggled with that burden of not good enough so often, and I just want to let you know that is a lie of the devil. That is a burden he's trying to place upon you to tear you down. And something my pastor once told me, he said, the point is to not sin. Right, and that sounds kind of counterintuitive because it's not as if God condones sin or we're fine just the way we are and he's going to leave us the way we are. But what does he say in his word? Jesus says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So Dylan, it's not about you going out in your own willpower and your own strength and reading the word enough and becoming this, you know, super Christian. It's about surrendering to him. It's about sitting on his lap. It is about just being with him. And when you are with him more, when you continue to surrender to him, he does the work in your heart. He transforms you. And thankfully, He does it slowly. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a sanctification process for the rest of your life. So don't think that you need to have it all together right now to be worthy of his love. He loved you in your sin. He died for you in your sin while we were yet his enemies. So don't let the enemy tell you that you are not worthy of his love, Dylan, because you are, and he delights in you. You are his precious son. So go be with your father, sit on his lap, and let him know that you're not perfect. He can take it. Let him know you're angry. He can take it. I love you.